Well, I'd just like to start with saying thank you for inviting me, and it's good to be here amongst friends. There really is a heart connection that we have here, in that often when we get a Sunday off, this is where I come and worship with you guys. And so my kids were really disappointed this morning, going, "Oh, can't we go to our other church with you?" And you know, we love the kids' church up the hill, and so it's really good to just be here, and thank you for inviting me. It's, I won't take the 2 hours that you said that I could have, so I'll get rid of that part of my notes, and we'll get stuck into it, hey? This morning's topic, it's a huge thing. It's something that deals with faith and suffering, with sickness and evil and sin, miracles and prosperity. It deals with the supernatural and the natural of who we are as a person. It's our inheritance and God's goodness and His working in the world. Of course, the topic is healing. So how do we package all that up and not take 2 hours, or the rest of the week for that matter, but rather do it in just over the next 20, 30 minutes? What I'm hoping to do is just give you a big broad brushstroke across and just pick up on some of those things that I've been finding people get stuck in and find that they have barriers to, and that sort of thing. So my hope is not to perhaps go super deep, but rather give you just a touch across a whole lot of areas. In that, I know that healing and sickness is something that can be really, really close to people's hearts. It can actually be a really tender and sore point at times. So as I speak this morning, there may be things that just go off like a siren in your head because of your experience or where you're at right at the moment. Let me just give you a warning to say, hey, if that happens to you, just jot it down in a little note. Put it to the side. Don't allow it to distract you from hearing the rest of the message. I know when I was at Bible college, there was a lecturer, and in the morning chapel time, he dropped a swear word right in the middle of his preaching, and it was the only thing anybody talked about afterwards. It was like there was no other message except for this swear word that he let drop. And so if I talk about something that gets really close to your heart, don't allow it to be the swear word, the siren that goes off that stops you from hearing everything else. We can always talk about it a little later on. Now, healing. I want to start with a little bit of where I'm at, a little bit of the world as I see it. Of course, I'm a pastoral care pastor, and that means I'm dealing with people who are sick every week, multiple times every week, usually. And I pray for a lot of people that are in some really, well, horrendous places. And my role, I see, is to come alongside them and help them to take their eyes off their current circumstance and invite Jesus into that circumstance with them. And that looks like a whole lot of different things for a lot of different people. I have a brother-in-law who has had a series of heart attacks. He has a heart that is one-third dead. He's had a number of stents put in, a number of surgeries. He's been in a coma for an extended period of time and then brought out of that. He's just, his body is in a mess. And yes, he's on a transplant list, waiting for a new heart. I have a close friend who's a mighty man of God. Like, you would not find a man who walks closer with God than this friend of mine. Yet he is bound to a wheelchair because he's quadriplegic. One night, as a young man, he said, "God, I need a challenge in my life." The next day, he died 4 times on the way to hospital. And you go, why? How can this be? Is this part of God's plan? I have a son who has chronic food allergies. He's anaphylactic to 5 different things, allergic to a handful of other things. If he comes and gets exposed to some of those things, he most likely will die. Yet we send him off to school camp for others to look after him. How do we do that? It's because God walks with us through that issue. My wife, if she was here this morning, you'd see her hobbling around a bit like this, because about 6 months ago she had a knee reconstruction, and she is still recovering, still having to work on the muscles to build those up. And me, well, through school, I could hardly read and write because I struggled with dyslexia. I could focus on about 2 or 3 letters. Out from that, the text would move around. So the way I used to read was look at the first letter, guess the word based on the context. And that's how I got through school. And yet somehow when I got to year 12, which I sort of balked at a proper VCE and went for a second rate, T12 I think it was called, then God called me to go to Bible college and do a degree, all based around reading and writing. I went, doesn't make any sense. You know, in 1 Peter 2, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. Catch that? By his wounds, we have been healed. My experience in growing up in a church, though, I think I'd have to say that the definition that the church sort of put to that was, we've been healed because, well, here's our list of sins and God's crossed them off, but didn't necessarily include physical, emotional, mental healing. It was just, we've been healed because we've been made right before God. Grew up in a fairly conservative church at that level, and it was okay to say, God, we have a need, come and try and deal with this. But I don't think there was any real expectation that God would just pick up a circumstance and turn it on its head. But here, Scripture very clearly says, by his wounds, we have been healed. Past tense. How does that work? Well, you've heard my journey about sickness. Well, what about healing? Where have I seen God actually turn a situation on its head? I had a mentor, and he had arthritis throughout his whole body. He had a horse riding accident. And while getting his back prayed for as a result of that horse riding accident, the arthritis basically just left his body. And for years after that, and still now, has no signs of that arthritis. I told you about Jenny with her knee. The reason why she needed her knee operated on was because of an ankle that she had damaged. And after many years of hobbling around, avoiding putting full weight on this ankle, she basically mucked up and stressed out her knee. One night during devotion time, my son, who was about 6 at the time, one of my sons, said, Mummy, I think Jesus wants me to pray for your ankle. And so Jenny said, okay, you can do that, but I need to come down out of my bed. Okay, you can do that. Mummy, you need to take your sock off. Okay, we'll peel the sock off. He laid his hands on her ankle and said, Jesus, heal Mummy's ankle. Amen. And climbed back up into bed. So simple. But for 24 hours, Jen's ankle burnt, hot inside. And she's never had an issue with that ankle again. Yet her knee had to be operated on. And after the operation, with her hobbling around, she's going, gee, I'm glad this ankle's good because I wouldn't be able to do this because of the knee. But why didn't God heal her knee as well? Did we pray for it? You bet, yeah. But for some reason, surgery was where we needed to go with that. We still scratch our heads and go, it's much easier if God just would reach in and deal with it. Not the way it happened. What about my dyslexia? Obviously, you can see I'm reading my notes and getting along okay with that. You know, just at some stage, after many years of praying, saying, God, I need your help in this. After pushing through the degree course for 4 years instead of three, somewhere, sometime, it just disappeared. It wasn't gone. It was just over a space of a year or two. And I sort of got there one day and was reading and thinking, nothing's moving. When did that happen? I don't know. Do I see it as God answering my prayer? Absolutely I do. Was it any less of a miracle than if it had happened in an instant? No, I don't think so. I'm living free of it now. I'm pretty wrapped. I don't care how it came. I'm glad that it did. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I went to a conference up in New South Wales, and it was Bill Johnson. It was a leadership advance, and he at a couple of different times through the conference said, you know, is there people who are dealing with, one of the things was having struggles with hearing, you know, have a hearing impairment of some sort. Put up your hand. And so there was a scattering of people, about 15, 20 people put up their hand for that. Then we gathered around and we prayed for them. And then another time, there was people who were struggling with knee joints or cartilage issues, and we gathered around and prayed for them. And another one that he'd really been seeing a lot of breakthroughs with in their church was people with steel in their body. So people with rods, plates, screws that were causing issues. And so he said, if that's you, let's pray for you, because we're actually seeing God dissolve those things out of people's bodies. And told a story of a lady who had had a hip replacement many years ago. That hip replacement had actually come to the point of being worn out, and she was due for another hip replacement. So they prayed for her, and then she went off to the surgeons, and the surgeons gave her an x-ray ready to prepare for the surgery. And they said, we don't understand this. It's not that you have a hip replacement, it's that you have all bone there now. And it's easy, even with the fact that I saw 40 or 50 people testify to the fact that God touched them in some special way. There was just story after story. They lined up a line of people from here to the wall plus a bit, one after the next told their story just very briefly about what had happened as we'd prayed for them. And something in me still goes, are you certain about that? The next day you come back, and I found a couple of those people and said, how's it going? Sort of half expecting them to say, well, I thought it would have been healed, but now it's not. Yet each of the people that I checked in with said, well, I can hear now out of this ear, and I couldn't before. Or my knees are better than they've ever been. Does God reach into our world, turn a situation on its head? Yeah. My experience has been that that's been pretty rare. But here I am confronted with 40 or 50 people out of a group of about 450. So that's getting close to just about every need in the room being dealt with. And I'm thinking, is God really that willing and that ready to reach in and change a situation? I come back from Day Spring to find that one of the young ladies at our church who has had 14 or 15 operations over her lifetime, she's only about 16 years old, recently had a hip replacement. And in that hip replacement, basically the doctor stuffed up. He got the hip right, But he'd forgotten the fact that because her hip was on a funny angle like this and was very thin, that they'd actually surgically lengthened her leg so that she was balanced and walking equal length legs. So when they did the hip replacement and it was all back over here, she then had her leg that they didn't account for 3.5 centimetres longer than it, the other one. And she had a chunk of rubber put on the sole of her shoe like this thick so that she could walk in a straight line. Come back from day spring and she has been prayed for on Sunday night, went and saw the surgeon on Monday morning who was preparing things to work out, right, how do we fix this problem, what's the next step? We're going to obviously have to go back and give you yet another surgery. She gets to the surgeon and he measures it, sends her off for x-rays. She comes back, he measures it again and says, I can't quite know what to say about this. Your legs are both the same length. You don't actually need that big chunk of rubber on the sole of your shoe anymore. Take it off. Praise God. And I look at that and I go, why did she have to have all the other 14 other surgeries? Am I greedy? I don't know. So by his wounds we are healed. Does God reach in, change our world? Absolutely. Does it happen every time, on demand? No, not from my experience. Although my experience at Dayspring sort of says, well, maybe he's a lot more willing than I've been prepared to accept. So what is sickness? I'm one of these people that have 1,000 questions going around in my head all the time. And so when it comes to sickness, I go, what are the questions I have? Well, is sickness wrong? Is sickness outside of God's plans and purposes? Is sickness founded in sin? Or in fact, is sickness a result of our own personal sin? Was Jesus ever sick? What do you reckon? And if he was, would have that disqualified him from being the Son of God? I like hard questions, don't I? So, what do we know? Jesus did suffer. And I know that suffering and sickness are very closely linked. So does Jesus understand our plight in sickness? Yeah, absolutely. So, here's the real issue that I see: people taking one biblical truth and trying to apply it to every situation. You know, if we do that, we're actually not being true to the Bible, because the Bible is not that narrow. It doesn't have a one solution fits all answer to sickness. So, what about sickness itself though? Sickness is not that simple either. We can have sickness in our body, i.e. break our arm. That's something that's quite physical. We can have sickness that's like disease in our body. We can have mental sickness. We can have emotional torment, and that's sickness of our soul. We can have sickness in our spirit, which is broken relationship between us and God. So with all these different types of sickness, what can we actually do about it? Where does God meet that need? How does that come about? Sickness, very simply put, is a reduction in function of any part of our person. It's the impairment of normal physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual function. Where's it come from? There's another question that bounces around in my head. Because if I know where it comes from, perhaps I can do something about that. And that might solve the problem at this other end. Well, that's not such a simple question either. Because, well, it doesn't all come from the one place. We have sickness in the big picture way. I suppose ultimately all does come from one place. And that is that Adam and Eve sinned. In their sin, that distorted creation, death entered in. So in some ways, any sickness, you can go, blame them. But will that get us far? The next type of sickness that I see is corporate disobedience. So it's not just blame them, it's, well, sometimes it's a result of us being in a culture or in a community where the community is doing wrong. I.e., if you live in an area where there's a whole lot of druggies around you, some side effects of their sin overflows into you and your family and your setting. An interesting one that popped into my mind as I looked at that was, well, we in the city of Casey actually live in a city which has the highest level of family violence in Victoria, one of the highest levels of family violence in Australia. How does that bubble into our world? How does that actually cause strain and struggle in our families? You know, we work with these people, our kids go to school in those settings. Some of us are those people, yet waiting for God to deal with those issues within us. And so that has some effect on us. That's corporate disobedience. There's personal sin. Does God say, you're sinning, therefore you're going to get this? What do you reckon? Is that the God we serve? 1 Corinthians 11 says, for anyone who drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep, i.e. died, in nice terms. But if we judge ourselves, we would not come under judgment. In some ways, yes, we do suffer the consequence of our own personal sin. Is it God taking a big stick to us? I don't think so. Is it us pushing God out of our lives and therefore leaving a space for the enemy to come in and take advantage of that because of the absence of God in the way we push him away? I think that's more the way it looks. But here, Scripture very clearly says, if you've got junk going on in your lives, if you're not doing the right thing, get it right so that you don't come under that curse. Judge yourself. Work it through. Don't allow it to be there because it will have a negative impact on you. Sickness also can come from natural consequences. My grandmother-in-law at the age of about 80 was out in her garden one day, and one of her naughty cats was in her garden. And so as a typical 80-year-old lady, she was fairly frail, and so she chases the cat and goes to kick it. She didn't realise that she had actually aged a bit since the last time she chased the cat and tried to kick it. Unfortunately, out of that, she missed the cat, fell over and crunched her back, and suffered the natural consequences of taking a hard fall onto some brick edging. So that is one source of sickness. So smoking. If you keep smoking, guess what? The natural consequence is cancer. The government keeps telling us that they print it on the packet. That's a source of sickness. Pollution, overeating, too much McDonald's is going to do it to you. Do we have to have some logic in looking after our bodies? Yeah, We have responsibilities on that front too. What about God forming character in us? Could God use sickness in us to actually shape and mould who we are? Yeah, I think so. And I think that's some of my son's journey. As we've prayed for him, there has been a sense that God has said, sure, I can take away his allergies, but they are actually something that I am using to shape and form his character in who he is. And he's a very unique little boy. And if you met him, you'd understand what I mean by that. He is so extroverted and so over the top. He's quite hilarious. But God's using something in him which I would say, I don't want. But I think God is using it. Do we pray for it to go? We pray for God's will. And the other source of sickness, well, John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy. Does that sound like a source of sickness? Yep, you bet ya. Does God want us to remain under the attack of the enemy? No. So we need to stand up and push him back where that's the source. Okay. What about healing? Why doesn't it come every time? Is God the great vending machine in the sky? It's a good excuse to say, well, no, God's not the great vending machine in the sky, therefore, well, I'll just put up with this sickness I have over my body because, well, I don't just want to treat him like the genie. I think we can use that as an excuse. I think God has a heart that says, I want the very best for you. I want to touch you and heal you and bring you into wholeness. So what barriers do we have to healing? Obviously, with the fact that it doesn't happen every time, first time when we pray, is there some barriers, something stopping that? You know, I think barrier number one is often me or us. You know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. So we better make sure we ask, hey? The other side to us that I often see is that, well, we need to do the practical thing. Paul's advice to Timothy, we read in 1 Timothy 5, it says, stop drinking only water. Use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illness. So if we want healing, we should get wine and drink a bit. That's not quite what's going on there. Basically, what happened in that in those days was that because they didn't have real clean water sources, they would make a very gentle wine and use it like water, but it had killed all the bacteria and all the nasties in the water through the making of the wine. And so here, obviously, Timothy is drinking water that's contaminated, and Paul says, don't just expect God to protect your body from all the junk that you keep putting in there with the water. Drink the wine. Allow it to deal with the issues that are going on in you. So sometimes there's the practical things that we need to do. We need to get some more sleep. We need to go to the doctor and ask for his wisdom and his advice. And if he prescribes some tablets, we need to take them. You know, this is one of the saddest things I have heard people do, is go to people, particularly people with mental health issues, and say, hey, those antidepressants or those antipsychotic drugs that you're taking, you're relying on them. And because you're relying on them, God isn't going to bring healing to you because you're treating them like your God. You know, that is so wrong. It's like when Jesus went and healed the man on the mat. Do you think Jesus would say, sorry, I can't heal you. You've been laying on a mat that brings comfort to you. No. He said, get up, take up your mat and be healed. So sometimes we need some tablets to deal with the symptoms until we come to a place of understanding or come to that place of healing that God has for us. So don't be in a place where you say, because of this, you can't get that. Quite frankly, I think God is a whole lot bigger than that. What do you reckon? Yeah. Another barrier to healing, or another question about why healing doesn't come, is, does the healing extend the kingdom? This is one that I've had to get my head around because of my friend Dale, who's in a wheelchair. And he has people come to him in the shopping centre and say, you know, God doesn't want you in the wheelchair. It's your issues that are keeping you there. And over the years, he's learnt how to deal with that and be able to work that through. But you know, he says that his wheelchair gives him access to places that his legs would not. That God uses the situation he's in. So the question is your sickness, is the place where you're at actually something that God has purposed for you to extend the kingdom in a way that you could not in any other way? Sometimes that's the answer as to why healing's not coming. And we have to work with God in that. What about God's timing and purpose? You know, if the sickness has got something to do with discipline, then the question is, have you learnt the lesson? If it's the enemy's attack, then I think the timing's now. God doesn't have a purpose for you to be under the enemy. And you know, there's another barrier that the scriptures talk about. It's the barrier of faith. This is another one where people get mixed up and actually do some real damage, I think, where they go to somebody who's sick and say, you're sick because of your own sin, or you're sick because of your lack of faith. And I've heard this done, and I think it's just not the heart of God. It's not what his purposes are. Yes, the scriptures do say, or quite often Jesus would say, your faith has made you well. But he also says, faith as small as a mustard seed, tiny little bit like this, is enough to move mountains. So, what about when he went to Nazareth? And he said, well, I didn't do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. So, what, he just healed a couple of blind people and got a couple of lame people walking? And one of the things Bill Johnson said was, if I could just get the average church to have the lack of faith of Nazareth, we could start seeing some miracles happening. So, where does faith sit in it? Clearly, it's not the equation in every circumstance. Jesus' friend died, and he left it 3 days to go to the tomb. He said, Lazarus, Lazarus, come out of that tomb. Did Lazarus exercise any faith in that equation? He was 3 days dead. So if you go to somebody who is sick and you feel that it is a lack of faith, use yours. Loan them yours. Bring your faith into the situation. That's one of the great things about being church. And it's one of the great things that we're going to exercise in a few moments' time, where we say, here's somebody with an issue. Let's bring our faith to this and together stand before God and exercise our faith to see him move and touch that person's situation. That's the joys of being in a kingdom of community. So, what's the one fact or the one reality that we can apply to every single situation of sickness? Obviously, we can't take one chunk of theology and shove it into every situation because, well, it may just be that God's got that person on a journey and he needs them, bring them through to learn and develop something in this journey so that they can walk in freedom. It may be that God is saying, yes, now is the time, and yet we have not asked. So what is the one reality that we can bring to every situation? It's prayer. You can never, ever be wrong in bringing somebody's sickness, somebody's need before God. In fact, that's the very essence of relationship, isn't it? And that's God's heart, that's God's desire, is to be in relationship with us, to journey through all situations with us. So this morning, what are we going to bring before God? In Revelation 21 and verse 4 it says, "He will wipe away every tear of every eye." There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This is a picture of what it is to be in heaven. No tears, no suffering, no mourning and no death. And Jesus says, pray that my Father's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So how do we pray that? We say, this is our need. This is our hurt. I'm feeling broken inside. I'm feeling broken in my mind, or my body is not functioning the way it should. I have sickness in me, and I want your will to come down from heaven. I want to be in a place of your kingdom where I know your touch. So, who needs that this morning? Yeah? There's a few people? Do you want to put your hand up a little bit? Yeah? People, gather around them. This is the joy of being church. It's saying you're not alone. You know, I mentioned about the vending machine. You know, it just may be that God is a little like a vending machine. We put our little thing in, our prayer, and out flows abundance like a poker machine. Is that what we asked for this morning? That God's abundance would be poured out over these people in need. I'm just going to lead you through on how to pray for this person and that you're standing around. Just very briefly ask them to just tell you in three or four words what it is that they need pray for. Don't need the whole story, just need to know what we're praying into. So those around them, just ask them. So, is it something physical? If it's something physical, ask them what they cannot do right now. Right? Because what we're going to do is we're going to say, well, God, they can't do this right now. We want you to move, and then we want to be able to see that happen. If it's an emotional or mental or spiritual type issue that they're facing, ask them what the prevailing feeling or emotion that is that they're feeling right now, on how it comes against them. You got that? Right, now just, Jesus gives us authority. He said, go and heal the sick. Alright, so we're going to stand on that authority as sons and daughters of the King. And we're actually just going to command that sickness to leave. So if it's an emotional thing, we're going to command that emotion to be gone from that person. If it's a physical thing, we're going to speak into being the healing that's needed. Do you want to just check in with that person? See if there's a difference. See if they're feeling different or whether there's an ability to move what they could not move before. You checking in with them? Has anybody got a breakthrough? Sometimes when you push something out of the way, something else rises up. So you just speak into that. Something else that can be really useful in praying for healing is actually use our words that are creative to actually speak the opposite into being in that person's life. So if, for instance, it's something of somebody's joint that is frozen up, you speak flexibility and movement and you pronounce that to be. Sometimes you get a bit of a release, just like Jesus who prayed for the blind man, and he said, I can see trees, people walking around like trees, and they have to push in again. So if that's the case, just take the next step and push in again with that person. So what's happening for people? Anybody seeing any changes? A little bit of a change? What's happened?
Just some relaxation, increased movement.
Yeah.
And I can look over my shoulder now.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that yesterday.
Fantastic. So, yes. So is your neck and your shoulder? Was all frozen up,
yeah,
all really sore. So,
on Friday,
yeah.
And been physio and stuff, and still couldn't turn in bed.
Yep.
But I can look over my shoulder now.
Yeah, great. So, a frozen shoulder that's just been released and can now look over your shoulder where you couldn't before. Just a relaxation coming into those muscles. Let's just praise God for that, hey. So maybe if you guys would just like to pray a blessing over her and just ask God to continue, that would just continue to free up. So there's a good looking pair of legs. Anything happening over there for you guys? Some laughing and...
She went for the steal to go in one hip, she's got to have the other hip operated on.
Okay.